No way to stay warm, no port in any storm. We sailed with our flag unfurled for a sea route through the ice to the land of silk and spice, right over the top of the world. The word went back with the whalers. There are leads through the pack to the west. And we poor ignorant sailors signed on for the ultimate quest, for pride and a place in the story, to puff up our chests and brag for the grog, the gold and the glory, the captain, the crown and the flag. No way to stay warm, no port in any storm. We sail with our flag unfurled for a sea route through the ice to the land of silk and spice, right over the top of the world. We made the tip of Greenland, then battled Baffin Bay. Beyond us lay a mean land with winter on its way. We hunkered in that beachy. We lost three men by spring. Oh, the times were far from peachy, lads, but we still had the strength and the spirit to sing. No way to stay warm, no port in any storm. We sailed with our flag unfurled through the ice to the land of silk and spice, right over the top of the world. Then died a noble notion. No passage could we make upon that frozen ocean, boys. Our ships we did forsake. In darkness did we stagger in vain for a friendly coast. And gone was the sailor's swagger then, and the captain's courageous pose. Flag unfurled for a sea route through the ice to the land of silk and spice, right over the top of the world. Now the people of the Arctic, in their houses made of snow, pagans poor and rustic, thought we, what did they know? But we, with our maps and our guns and our tools, our lead soldered tins and high tea, well, we soon proved to be but the greatest of fools. We nod on our boots, beg for mercy. No way to stay warm, no port in any storm. We sail with our flag unfurled for a sea route through the ice, right over the top of the world. And now they tell the old tale with a frown and a shake of the head, of men who braved the cold gale and wound up lost and dead. And some will mourn our mystery, and may seek our scattered graves. But we've all gone down in history, boys, like our battered ship beneath the great waves. No way to stay warm, no port in any. sea route through the ice to the land of silk and spice, right over the top of the world. No way to stay warm, no port in any storm. We sailed with our flag unfurled. For a sea route through the ice to the land of silk and spice, right over the top of the world. Right over the top of the world. Right over the top of the world.
That's Canadian adventurer, writer, and miner of song, David Newland, with his band Uncharted Waters, on No Way to Stay Warm, from his fifth album, Northbound, the Northwest Passage in Story and Song, a live collection of original songs based on David's travel in the Northwest Passage with Adventure Canada. Now, the new album was recorded live at Trinity United Church in Cobourg, with David, his band, and a host of special guests. To learn more about the project, we're pleased to welcome David Newland to Folk Roots Radio. It's great to have you join us on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Jen. It's always a pleasure.
You know, I'm going to start off with the minor of song bit, because I know, as well as being a singer-songwriter, you also love to tell stories, and I guess that weaves everything together, does it?
I think it does. I'm a photographer, I'm a storyteller, I'm a writer, I'm a public speaker, I'm a musician, and I think what's at the heart of all of that is stories, and maybe what's at the heart of stories is, you know, relationships.
So tell us about this new album. The album, as we mentioned, is entitled Northbound. It's actually a live show, I think, that you've been doing for a few years now, isn't it?
Yes, I have. It's about 3.5 years the show's been developing. The songs were mostly written around the beginning of that period. I've added a few on since then. But it was songs inspired by my travels in the Northwest Passage, augmented with images from great photographers, a few of my own and a few from other folks I've traveled with, sometimes some video, and then stories interspersed between the songs. So it's quite a dynamic show.
So we started out with No Way to Stay Warm, which seems to be a song that's really driven by the whole story of the Franklin expedition and, you know, the catastrophic way that ended.
Yeah, and I thought that was a good place to come into the story, because for most Southerners, as I'm going to call us, you know, Canadians who do not live in the North, that's actually our entree into the story. When we think about the Northwest Passage, we think about Franklin. We may think about the Stan Rogers song, although it's not really about the Northwest Passage per se. It certainly mentions it as kind of a backdrop. And so that's where we enter the story. And it made sense to me to kind of use that classic narrative to bring people in. But then I subvert it in a way, because our narrator in that song, one of Franklin's sailors, tells the true story of what happened to that expedition, which of course is that it's unsuccessful, to say the very least. No one returns alive. So we right away, right off the top, we lose our narrator. We lose our familiar footing. You know, just like the narrator in Long Black Veil, we're hearing the words of a ghost, right?
Right.
And so I like the fact that we've now we're on unsteady footing, and we explore that a little bit. We get into this idea that maybe the heroism isn't what it's all about, and I'm hoping that we then follow the trail into that, ultimately into connection with Inuit communities and personalities whose story, in a way, is there the whole time, right? And that we can discover that for ourselves.
And I think in some ways it was probably the search for Franklin and, you know, his ships that probably provoked more understanding of the North, didn't it?
I mean, it depends whose point of view. I mean, it's totally true. They say that in the search for Franklin, most of the Canadian Arctic was mapped. But it also depends where you stand in that story. If you're the Inuit, you've had an understanding of the Arctic the whole time. It's your place. It's your homeland. It's where you've been. And I think importantly, Inuit don't figure centrally in the stories that we as Southerners have received. So that's very fertile territory for a reexamination.
So this is the first song on the album.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's probably, is it the first song in the live show too?
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's we didn't used to do that when we started out because it's such a big song and has this monster ending that it was a great way to end the show. But at a certain point, I realized that no, this is really a beginning song, and there was I had to sort of make this sacrifice. You never want to squander your home run, so to speak. But it has been a very effective show opener because it is so energetic, and I think people have responded to that really well.
And I think it's a good opportunity for the band you assembled for the album, I guess, and also for the release show we will talk about a little later. It's an opportunity for them to really show their chops as performers.
I totally agree. And, you know, I built the band around these songs. We've toured now for several years. And I think that one of the things that we've done that's maybe more subtle than the lyrical content is that we've found a musical language to tell these stories in. It's a bit Celtic and UK folk influenced, but there are a lot of sort of global elements. There are a lot of interesting instrumentation. We use a lot of instruments not so much for their history, but for the peculiarity of their sound, like the nickel harpa or the Illan pipes. And then my songwriting, I think, is sort of from the lyrical Canadian folk school. So we're putting some interesting elements together, and you're absolutely right. I think it's showcased on this song.
And, you know, this being your fifth album, did you find that it was actually a way for you to probably develop more? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you're from the Canadian folk school, but, you know, some of the music that you've woven in this, and I think one or two of the players have definitely had more of that British feel.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Saskia Tompkins was a British Fiddler of the Year at one point. Stefan Hannigan, who's her husband and frequent musical collaborator, toured with Lorena McKennett. He played with Afro-Celt Sound System. You know, he was on Chieftain's Records. So they absolutely are bringing those elements as well as some very strong global sounds. And you hear a lot of that Saskia plays the nickel harpa. Stefan plays the Illan pipes. But their son, Oisin, who's our percussionist, he's playing daf, he's playing cajon, as well as boran and you know, other types of percussion. So there's some interesting things happening in the rhythm. And then our bass player, Sam Allison, whom a lot of people know as Lotus White from Shishim and Lotus and Son, he's got such an amazing grounding in American roots music that he kind of anchors the whole thing in that way. And so, yeah, there are many, many different flavors. The truth is, though, I think even it's true. I would say I'm from the Gordon Lightfoot influenced kind of school of Canadian songwriting, if you will. But even at that, you know, we all have big ears, right? Musicians are listening to all kinds of stuff. I don't know anybody who just listens to sort of their own genre.
Right, right. Now, this is a live album as well. You recorded it very close to where you live now in Cobourg.
Yeah.
This must have felt very special. You know, it's your adopted home to be able to bring all of these wonderful people together to tell this story. But again, telling this story about a world that most of us will never get to see.
It was super special. And, you know, part of what I really believe in a kind of, 100-mile diet, so to speak. But of course, as a musician, you know, you travel all over the place, and my adventures have literally taken me to the ends of the earth. And so what do you do with that? Well, I think the least you can do is bring it home, and that's very, very important to me, to bring it home, to kind of plant seeds. I have a community here. I've been living in Cobourg for 6.5 years, and this community has been kind in its embrace. And so I felt this was something I could really do, you know, almost as a thanks. But I think there's also, you know, there's something special about working in a smaller place, and the sense of geography is so important to me that it's almost, this is like the bookend, right? When you go way, way out, then you got to come a long way back, and when you're there, you really want to be there.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'd like to dip back into the album with another song that introduces some of the other people involved, because there are a lot of people involved in this project. I mean, looking at the list of the people who are on the music credits for this album, that would be our interview by the time we talked about their roles. But I'd like to play the song This Moment on the Sea, because it includes some Inuit throat singing and involves some people that I know you've been working with a lot over the last few years. So tell us about this song and let's listen to it.
Sure. Yeah, This Moment on the Sea, just, you know, in some ways it's the most personal song on the album, because it's just me sort of writing an ode to how I feel when I'm driving a boat. And in this case, it's on the Arctic Ocean, which is a pretty spectacular feeling. I drive Zodiacs when I'm up in the Arctic working with Adventure Canada. It's an expedition travel company. And so I'm driving this 18-foot rigid inflatable boat, and it's a tremendous feeling of freedom. I grew up driving boats on Georgian Bay, and then I went and, did some kind of seaman stuff out in British Columbia as part of a program there, and, you know, and paddlecraft are a big part of my life. So just the feeling of being on the water is very inspiring. In this song, I'm talking about that feeling, and also the feeling of getting to share something that's so incredible with 10 passengers who get into the boat, and you just take them on this journey that, you know, you can know on a given day that you're going to change people's lives, and it's a powerful feeling. And the throat singing that you allude to, that's my friends Linda and Heidi. They are an Inuit throat singing, cultural performing duo called Sikinip Kilauta, which means sun's drum, and that's a translation. It means what we call sun dogs, right? Those kind of rainbow formations that you can see around the sun under certain atmospheric conditions. And they're a big part of my shows. As often as we can manage it, we get together, and they are featured artists in the Northbound show. It was really important to me that we center Inuit voices and kind of reflect the welcome that I've enjoyed in the Arctic. And they bring so much to that. You don't hear as much of them on the album, frankly, because a lot of what they do in the show is interactive. Like they are, first of all, throat singing is kind of a performance that is different every time because it's a competition. And so, you know, it can last a short time or a long time, depending who wins or loses when it breaks out into laughter. But they also get the audience throat singing, and they do a lot of explaining around the traditions, the linguistic elements, the kudlik or stone lamp. So that stuff doesn't make it to the album, but you do hear them on three tracks, and it's a big contribution. And especially on this one, where they actually are imitating the sounds of birds, seabirds, as we come into the track.
Let's listen to that just now. This is David Newland and Uncharted Waters with This Moment on the Sea from his great new album, Northbound. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio. And I'm Jan Hall.
Seabirds wheeling overhead, joyful spirits cry. I roll the throttle and I'm flying free. And is it just the wind that calls the teardrop to my eye? Never mind, there's no one here to see. Just my zodiac and me. In this moment on the sea. standing at the gangway, cameras in their hands, eager travelers wait impatiently, keen as little kids to take that wild ride to the land. Climb aboard now, please step carefully. Come and ride my Zodiac with me. In this moment on the sea, put me in the water and I'm breaking into song. 'Cause all I need is a burst of speed and a coast to ride along. Along the coast of Greenland, out among the ice, feels like you could touch eternity. Oh yes, I'm going back again, you don't have to ask me twice. Trace my little trail across the sea, and that's my Zodiac and me. In this moment on the sea, my Zodiac and me, and we're free in this moment on the sea.
That's David Newland and Uncharted Waters with This Moment on the Sea from his wonderful new album, Northbound. David's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're chatting about the new album. It's a live album. It was recorded in Coburg. David will also be taking it out on tour across Canada. He's been touring this for, I think, 3.5 years already. I'm going to put a shout out to his website now if you want to check out everything that's happening. I'm big on steering people to websites rather than just social media to get a lot more information about the things that I think you should be checking out. So head to davidnewland.com for everything to do with Northbound and all of the other things that he's involved with, because you have been involved with Adventure Canada for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, this is my 7th year with Adventure Canada, and I work with them year-round. I help with, I think my title is brand ambassador, but I help with events and promotions and partnerships and connecting people together to do really interesting and fun stuff. And then on the ships in the summer, I'm an expedition host and a Zodiac driver and a performer. So it's been a really tremendous opportunity for me. I think a lot of musicians have day jobs that they keep quiet about. I know I've had a few, and you always feel like you're leaving your job to go change into your Superman suit in the phone booth. But, for the last 6.5 years, things have really come together for me so that my artistic and my professional careers are completely intertwined, and it's been a phenomenal opportunity. I've really had some tremendous chances to travel and to do things I otherwise wouldn't have done, and it's all wound up in the music.
Yeah, that must feel really great for you, because I know, as you mentioned, a lot of people don't like to mention the day job because it is so different from how people tend to think of them as a performer. So,
And for me, I have the great gift that now they're not at odds with one another. I mean, you know, to the extent that a folk singer has a brand or an image or a public perception, frankly, working with Adventure Canada has increased that for me. It's given me new reach. I meet people 200 at a time on board the ship, and I really get to know them, and they see me in my element, and they they see what I'm attempting to do, and we do things together. And also, you know, I want to be a part of the change. You know, Alex Sinclair from Tamarack told me a long time ago, and I've never forgotten this. He said, David, real folk singers have day jobs. And what he was talking about was not just what we were doing on a given day, but where folk music comes from. You know, it's only a very recent development for very few people that musicians can depend on music for their full living. And so, you know, I don't mind at all saying that I'm in that tradition of people who work and write songs inspired by their work, people who travel and write songs inspired by their travel, you know, people who explore history and write songs inspired by that. That's folk work.
And I think Adventure Canada is pretty respectful, isn't it, about the way that it interacts with the cultures that they're, you know, they're allowing people from the South to explore?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, certainly. I mean, and relationships are everything in every aspect of life. But, you know, I was very impressed long before I ever worked there with the work that Adventure Canada was doing, the way that North and South were being brought together in meaningful contexts, the way that Inuit stories were being centered, and their support for artists and the arts. I mean, I've had the privilege of traveling with the likes of, you know, Margaret Atwood or Ken McGugan or Michael Crummy, Lisa Moore, you know, all these great writers, and then the painters and other artists who are aboard, the photographers, the musicians. I first knew about Adventure Canada through the work of Ian Tamblyn, who has done dozens of trips with them and was coming back with these albums, you know, really resonant with Northern sensibility and Northern longing. And I got the language of that in some ways from Ian. So I think we do good work. There's always more that one can do, and we really strive for that. But I feel comfortable that effort is constantly being made. And to be in an environment where you're the guest of, you know, these remarkable Inuit folks who are our fellow staff and friends, it's a profound opportunity to learn and to help others be in a place to learn. And I take that pretty seriously.
And I guess there's a good opportunity to talk to people about the impacts of climate change on the Arctic. I'm curious as to your perspective on that, not on climate change specifically, but on it, the way it's affecting the life of the Inuit.
Well, there's no question. I mean, climate change is more severe in the north. It's happening faster. It's happening harder. It's hitting Inuit and other Arctic peoples first. And we definitely see evidence of that in tons of ways. And yet, I think the overarching issue, though, is that culture change precedes climate change and magnifies its effects. So for Inuit who have largely only lived in communities for the past 50, 60 years and are therefore, you know, undergoing a really, really rapid transition from their traditional ways to very, very contemporary ways, the bigger issue has been the loss of culture, the threats to language, the kinship ties and all of that, and separation from land, from country food, and so on. Climate change exacerbates all those things. But at the same time, you know, Inuit will typically say, I've heard this many times, that they are very proud adapters. They have adapted all along. That's how they got where they are. And they intend to adapt to climate change as well. It's evident that we're not just going to halt it in its tracks tomorrow. But what they need to do that successfully, and what everybody needs to do that successfully, is healthy culture. And that's a challenge right now. And so anything we can do to support the robustness of Inuit culture, which isn't always just traditional, like, you know, it's a developing culture like all others, and a lot of that's very, very contemporary, but it's got to be self-generated, and it's got to be done with sovereignty and agency and you know, ownership of the resources and the decision-making processes, and it hasn't been.
I'd like to dip back into the album with a fun song that actually I think is the first single from the album, and that's Musk Ox Stew, which I think talks about the the welcome that you get with from the Inuit. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that before we play the song.
Yeah, this song is, I kind of like it from a bunch of points of view. We did choose it as the single because it's very hooky and catchy, and it also has, you know, it has throat singing on there. It's got jaw harp, which is actually has a bit of history in the Arctic as well, so there's actually two jaw harps on this song and a dueling fiddles and the rest of it. But it was inspired by, you know, there multiple times gone up into communities and, you know, you get toured around by your local guides and you see whatever there is to see and get to know some folks, and you usually wind up in a community center where there's a bit of a presentation and a welcome. And, you know, the elders are they're sitting there having lit the kudlik. You'll usually be welcomed by a dignitary or an elder. There's often some ai songs and throat songs, and maybe you get a chance to see some traditional clothing. Arctic games are demonstrated, all these kind of local elements. And very often there's food, and if you're lucky, there's country food. So that's food that someone's gone out and hunted off the land or the water, and it could be seal, it could be caribou, and it could be a beluga whale or narwhal and ptarmigan, you name it. There's a lot of things it could be. And on a particular day in Joe Haven, it was muskox stew. And what happened on that day, you know, amid the pervasive smell of this stuff, which was so delicious to eat, there was a bit of a musical performance. There's a wonderful band up there called the Joa Band, and they were playing, you know, kind of jigs and reels. Some of those having come over from Scotland with the whalers way back in the 1800s. So that tradition's alive and well up there, and that's really inspiring and interesting. And so is the square dance tradition, which was also brought by the whalers. And so at a certain point, kind of a square dance breaks out, and there's everybody, you know, elbow to elbow and swinging around. And that was just so powerful to me that, you know, on the one hand, it's a world that's totally different for us. And on the other hand, there are these elements that are from the stories that we've been telling all along. But they're maybe not the elements that we were thinking of, right? And there are parts of our history together that I think deserve more focus. And those places where we have managed to share more equitably and to connect with one another and to find welcome with one another are powerful. So the song is told in this, it's a kind of a mosaic. You hear multiple voices in the song. There's not a single narrator. And it's bits and pieces of what you might pick up on a busy day in an afternoon in a community like that from locals and visitors.
Yeah, it's certainly a fun song. And, you know, I want to put a special mention out for the liner notes that you include with the album, because you get the lyrics and you also get through the narration that it takes place within the show, because remember, this is a live show, an opportunity to get that glimpse into the lives of the people living in these communities. And I think that's wonderful. Let's listen to that now. This is David Newland and Uncharted Waters and Musk Ox Stew from his great new album, Northbound. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Muskox stew, caribou, Arctic char, muktuk too. You better try a little, wouldn't wanna be rude. Traditional victuals, country food. Muskox stew made for you, better try a little, the homemade muskox stew. Arctic games, if you wanna try. Arts and crafts, if you wanna buy. Arctic life, what do people do? Well, we have our strife and our good times too. Muskox stew made for you, better try a little of the homemade muskox stew. throat singers sing and laugh. Everybody wants to take a photograph. Hey, drum dancer, dance your song. All the elders sing along. Sing along. Fiddles, now hear them play. Children running every which way. And everyone together on the old gym floor. And you dance and you swing and you dance some more. Dance some more. Gotta go. Gonna miss those kids and the elders too. Miss that smell. Muskox stew, muskox stew made for you. Better try a little of the homemade muskox stew. Muskox stew made for you. Better try a little of the homemade muskox stew.
That's David Newland and Uncharted Waters with Musk Ox Stew from his new album Northbound. David Newland's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today, talking about the new live album that was released recently. I should say released recently because you had the show that you taped basically in Coburg, which took place, I think, in November.
That's right.
And strictly speaking, there is a big Toronto release taking place very shortly, isn't there?
Yeah, April 26th, Friday, April 26th at Hughes Room Live in Toronto.
Yeah, and I think that will be a show where there will be a few of the people that were involved in the project playing with you?
Yeah, most of them. Not everybody, because some folks had actually come down from the Arctic for that show, and some folks are on the road, but my core band of Uncharted Waters, myself and four musicians, and Sikinipkilauta, Sun's Drum, our Inuit throat singing collaborators, will be there. And also Drew Gonzalez from Kobo Town, who joined us for a song, and Alex Chung, who's in a bunch of different ensembles, but he and I spent 9 years in a band together called the McFlies, and so we go back a long way. And Alex will be there that night as well. So it's going to be a fun night. We're going to do the album sort of tip to toe.
And remember, head to davidnewland.com to get more details. There's all the links there as well. We'll also put them on our website. Now, this is a show that you have taken across Canada. I guess it's a show that also changes depending on where you're going, doesn't it?
It totally does. I mean, I've done it on board the ship, or I've done it in house concerts. I've done it I've actually performed. I'm frequently booked as a speaker, but sometimes people find out that I'm a musician and they decide to have me perform instead of speak. So I've done it at speaker series and, you know, all kinds of different places as a solo artist. And then sometimes I do it as a duo with Sam Allison, or sometimes it winds up being a trio of myself and the two throat singers. My preferred arrangement is with the band and the throat singers and some special guests. But, you know, of course it varies on what you can do in terms of costs and so on. We've done a few iterations of this out in Calgary where I just fly in and I connect up with local musicians and performers and speakers, and we do a show that's totally unique for that place and that time, and I like to do that too.
So what happens now? This show, you know, is out there. I mean, you'll continue to tour it as often as people would like to hear you talk about it and sing about it?
Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, I know that I got a lot of gigs ahead of me this summer, and summer's still being added to the calendar. There's a couple of festivals this summer, and you know, some road time. I'll be doing a local release back in Coburg, and probably do a little mini tour out in Alberta and BC in the fall. And often I have to be serendipitous, because I'll probably spend over a month on the ship this summer, and you know, there's only so much a person can do. But I think we've continued to be welcomed and offered new opportunities for this project, and it hasn't felt like the glow is off of it. I did wonder a little bit whether we did get some bookings that were very clearly kind of a Canada 150 thing a couple of years back, and okay, fine. But I think the relationship of Canadians to their own sense of northern geography and history is always going to be interesting. And I think we're small scale enough that there will always be new people who haven't heard of us. It's not like we're getting a lot of mass media airplay or anything. So I think when the show rolls into town, there's always something that is a hook for people. And I think we'll play as long as the demand is there. And I think that's going to be a while.
And I guess there's always the fact that the show will change over time, because you'll meet new people. You'll maybe, you know, write new songs, new stories to tell.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, thank you for saying that, because there's another album's worth of material already written, and I'm writing more songs all the time. So I could literally put out Northbound 2 tomorrow, and I think it would be a really compelling record and have some, you know, some great material. I don't know that I'll do that, but I could, you know.
Well, certainly I think that anything we can do to try and educate the rest of us about our Indigenous peoples, and obviously not just talking about the people who live their lives up in the Arctic, I think is obviously a good thing, because we're certainly living in an age where people tend to need more education. Obviously, I think the education system is falling down a little bit.
I think we've all learned enough to know that we need to know a lot more, and this is timely for that. And I think in many ways it's an honor to be able to just share. When you get your own eyes opened a little bit, you know, you want to be able to go out there and share that. And one of the things I like about folk music is that it's not strictly perceived as entertainment. I'm not sure that any music is ever actually just entertainment, but certainly folk music is right up front about the fact that you'll probably learn something and feel something. And that's what we want to do.
Well, look, it's been great to talk to you today. Remember, if you want to learn more about the music of David Newland and the Northbound Project, head to davidnewland.com. I'd like to finish with one more song from the album. And I really like this song because, it kind of wraps things up. And that's Under Forever Skies. It's also a song that I think is much more you than some of the other songs on the album. To me, it kind of wraps the context about how unique this area is. And, you know, and I think what you're achieving here is allowing those of us who probably will never get there an opportunity to learn more about it. So tell us a bit about this song.
Gosh, yeah. Now, you've got my mind reeling now when hearing that song is more me, because, you know, I wonder what that means. But, you know, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I like to write from a sense of place, and I often move forward from there, you know, and you start with the place, and then you tell the story in the place. But I think in this song, the place is the story. It's set in a place that's called Port Leopold, which is a very fanciful term. It's not a port by any means. It's not a community. It's a bay. It's a bay on Somerset Island, right in the central high Arctic. And if you go there in the summertime, what you'll see is these expansive gravel beaches and several levels of raised beaches, which are evidence of isostatic rebound, like the land coming back up after the glaciers have receding. And they lead up to these high sedimentary, they're essentially low mountains or high hills of bare rock, and you can see the strata in the rock that amount to the ancient ocean floors of millions of years ago. It's very striking visually, and quite barren to the southern eye. You know, there's no forest or anything like that. There's some tundra. There's incredible, exquisite little flowers down on the tundra. The area around has been sculpted by receding glaciers, so that sort of bowl-shaped glacial valley is evident. There might be chunks of icebergs or even sea ice just in the bay. And then there are things that you find on the land, and within half a mile to a mile, some of the things you might find, well, you're bound to see this old shack that was a Hudson Bay trading post at one time and has then been abandoned. Next to that is a granite boulder, an accidental boulder, the only piece of granite for miles and miles around, and it's carved EI 1848, so that was the men of the Enterprise and then the Investigator looking for Franklin, who spent the winter at Port Leopold bound in. Up the beach a little bit, you'll find Thule houses, so the remains of stone houses that were occupied by the ancestors of the Inuit. Archaeologists call the Inuit pre-contact Thule. So those houses are still there, and the bones that held up the tent skins on top of those stone foundations are still there. You know, you could pretty near re-erect those houses and live in them. Down the way a little bit is the part of the wreck of an old whaling ship. And you really see the whole scope of geological, glaciological, prehistorical, historical sweep of time. And there you are, a little group of people in your Gore-Tex jackets disappearing into this landscape. And I just felt, you know, sort of how awe-inspiring and how momentary the whole thing is, you know, the little blink of human existence, right? And there's also a little shout-out in that song. It's this sort of folk trivia, I guess, Canadian folk trivia, but there's a white-faced gerfalcon that we sometimes see at Port Leopold. This is an amazing bird to see. And it put me in mind of an Ian Tamblyn album called Gyre, where Ian is quoting William Butler Yeats and the falcon who in an ever-widening gyre eventually can no longer hear the voice of the falconer. And so that it's a subtle reference in a way, but I like it because it's something that Ian told me about before I went north, and I always kept it in mind, you know, this danger that at some point you no longer hear the falconer, and it's very powerful for me.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that, because when I read the lyrics for this and listened to the song, I think that's what I was going with when I said that there was more you in the song. Mm. I love this verse. The wind is wild, the ocean roars, we are specks upon the landing. Distant falcon swoops and soars, far beyond our understanding. And to me, I think that really encapsulates what hopefully this project can do to try and give people more of an understanding of a world that, as you mentioned, is so much bigger than that human world that we keep trying to keep control of.
Mm, thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, it's that's sure where I land up, you know, when I'm in the Arctic, is your tiny little individual self doesn't amount to much.
If people want to learn more about Adventure Canada, there'll be people listening that would love to take a trip. How can they do that?
AdventureCanada.com. All the trips are on the homepage there, and there's some great places you can go in an expedition-style cruise vessel, a small ship with, you know, noted local representatives and noted experts aboard. It's a pretty great way to immerse yourself in a location for sure.
David Newland, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. This is David Newland and Uncharted Waters with Under Forever Skies from his great new album, Northbound. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Jan. It's a real pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Sun and moon dance night and day. Ancient play of light and shadow. Tiny flowers bob and sway. Summer's moment in the meadow. Open and close your eyes. Under forever sky. A heavy rafter. Footsteps muffled in the sand. Restless spirits wander after. Open and close your eyes. Under forever sky. Your history here. Ghosts of men came to plunder. They were lost in fear. Best to lose yourself in wonder under forever sky. Specks upon the landing. A distant falcon swoops and soars. Far beyond our understanding. See how that falcon flies into that great horizon.